Welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than No podcast. I have Maya Ratcliffe as my guest today. Super excited to get to know you, Maya. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So Maya, we were connected through Eric Van Horn, who's the franchise guru. He's was one of our advisors super early on, and he's been great. What's your relationship with Eric?
He's actually one of my advisors. So I realized about 5 months ago that, you know, you don't know what you don't know in franchising, and I needed some executive leadership, and I reached out, and it's been a beautiful partnership since.
Awesome. How long ago was that you guys
went about? About 4 months ago is when I first reached out. So we've been working together now, December, January, February, and it's been really enjoyable.
Hey, awesome. Are you also working with Jeff?
I am. Yeah. I meet with Jeff almost every day for about an hour.
Hey, awesome. He's also great. That's been such a big help for me as well. Finding people in the industry, regardless of the industry, whatever you're doing, there's always somebody that's been there, done that, that knows more than you. Mm-hmm. And to bring them on rather than try to figure out yourself is definitely the way to go. So, Maya, can you give us, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of your background?
Absolutely. So my background is, for the past 10 years prior to becoming a franchisor, I helped small businesses. I reorganized small to medium-sized businesses, hiring, firing, new marketing, etc. And prior to that, I was a corporate banker for 10 years. And so I lived around the United States, and my business was born kind of by accident, actually. It was a hobby that turned into people wanting to learn what I was doing. And so we were living on the Hawaiian Islands. I lived there for 9 years, which was an incredible experience, very different than the mainland. And so it was a lot of fun. And I learned a lot in corporate banking and, of course, in my consulting business that has helped with franchising. But franchising is a whole beast of its own.
Yeah. So what is the name of the business, and what do you guys what do you guys do, and where are you guys at in the franchising process?
So the name of the business is Hawaii Fluid Art, and we launched a little less than 2 years ago. And we are an art studio, an interactive art studio, where you can come and create beautiful art no matter your skill level. So we take care of people with all abilities and different abilities. All of our studios are ADA compliant. In the front of our studios is a beautiful little retail area where we feature local artists, artisans, jewelry makers, candle makers, etc. And the back is an active art studio where we offer many different art forms every hour on the hour. And you can book online, walk in, etc. And like I said, we launched to the public a little less than 2 years ago. We have 30 locations open. We'll have about 100 open by the end of this year. We have 55 in different stages of development. And so if we didn't sell another unit the whole year, we would be sitting at right at 80 units open. So it's been a lot of work and a lot of fun, and it's grown quickly. Awesome. That's it in a nutshell.
You mentioned, did you say ADA compliant or?
Yeah. So all of our studios, we work with people of all abilities. So all of our studios are wheelchair accessible.
Okay.
For all of our art forms. Yeah.
Awesome. And then you mentioned two sides of this. One is giving art classes every hour on the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other one?
So in the front of our studios is a small retail gallery where we feature local artists, artisans, jewelry makers, etc. So it's a place for local artists to display their works, and it helps us because it fills our stores with beautiful art, but it also helps artists because we call it good real estate and places for people to be able to hang their art and sell their art.
Why art? How did you get into this? This is the first time I've heard about this in the franchising space, which is awesome.
So it was kind of on accident. I needed a hobby. I was very busy just working all the time and never taking any downtime. And I started going to art classes, like with a brush. And I was horrible at everything. I mean, truly horrible at all of it. And I would leave these art classes feeling worse about myself. And I was thinking, you know, a hobby is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be uplifting. It's supposed to make you feel good. And so I started playing with just different art forms that I could create something beautiful. And then I started posting my works online, just on Facebook, like, look what I made. And then people started asking me to teach. So I set up a little studio in my detached 2-car garage. And in the first 6 months, I taught over 1,000 people. And right after that, honestly, my husband said, that's it. No more people come into the house. You have to get a retail space. So we opened our first store May 1st, 2021.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. That's super fun. So it was really born out of a hobby and a passion.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And wanting to help other people. So my first students actually were people that had traumatic brain injuries. And I saw the joy that it brought to these individuals. And it just made me want to offer it to more people, because there's this feeling and this excitement that happens when somebody creates something truly beautiful. They feel good about themselves. And so it's not just about an art class. It's about the way they feel, the experience, the emotion, all of it. And that's what keeps people coming back over and over again.
About 2 months ago, I suck at art. But a buddy of mine owns an art studio in Salt Lake City, and he invited me and my wife and said, this is a date night. And I'm like, whatever, I'll go, but like, it's not going to be fun. I'm not going to enjoy it. And we got our little, I was checking if it was behind me. My kids moved the stuff. Anyway, I was going to show you my painting. The guy's wife was kind of in the middle with her canvas on the easel, and there's maybe 15 of us.
Yeah.
And there was like cheese and wine, and it was a good time, and you're in an art studio. But I'm like, well, that's fun, but painting's not going to be fun. But what she did is just brush by brush. She's like, make this stroke, yeah, you know, 3/4 of the way down, blah, blah. And then like 5 minutes later, she's like turning it. And then you just follow on step by step. And at the end of it, you're like, I just made an elephant in a bathtub with a rubber ducky on his head. And it was such a cool experience, an experience that I did not think I was capable of having. But with the right setting and the right guide, I was like, wow, that's cool. And we both took home our little, little mini canvas, and it was a great time. Tell me how you guys, I mean, somebody like me who just doesn't do art, how do you make it fun and entertaining and creative?
Well, all of our art experiences are very different. So we don't use paint brushes. We actually layer paint in cups, and then we pour the paint onto a canvas. That's one of our art forms. And then we tilt it around. There's about 20 different versions of fluid art just on canvas. And we have sizes from 12 by 12 all the way up to 4 foot by 5 foot. As a matter of fact, Eric did 3 very large pieces for his home, and he couldn't believe that he did it because they turned out so beautifully. And so we have instructor-led experiences. And then we also work with resin, and we make resin tumblers. We do caps. It's called Patch Party, where you can customize a trucker hat or a baseball cap. And so we just have a lot of different options, so all age ranges can participate, from 2 to 102.
I love that. 2 to 102. What a cool community, that's being created. So you have 30 stores open, which mm-hmm. was very quick. How did you grow so quickly and find one that I assume they're all franchises or mostly franchised, mm-hmm. And then also going about and opening them up so quickly?
Well, we have a very good team. So my business background helped, and I realized that I needed a strong support team before I even launched to the public. And so what I did is I found people that I trusted that had excellent work ethics, and we put together a very profound platform for our future franchisees. I had a ridiculous amount of confidence in the brand, and I just knew that we were going to sell 350 of them in the first 5 years. And I remember saying that and people just kind of rolling their eyes. And so we really put in place, the leadership team and I, all of the foundation, everything that's needed, everything from real estate acquisition directors to construction managers. We have franchisee success managers. We have a full marketing team. We have design specialists, and the list goes on and on. And so we are not just an idea and a logo. We are a full service brand, everything from our own online booking portals to a call center, the whole bit. And we put that infrastructure in place before we started launching to the public. Now, obviously, as we've grown, we've improved, and that will continue to happen. So that is really the way that we grew quickly. And then our footprint is very simple. Our build out is very simple. I shouldn't even call it build out. It's more like a refresh, a little bit of paint and some light fixtures in an existing space. And so we have a team that works very well together. And we've just been getting them open left and right. This month we have 5 opening. Next month I think it's 6 or 7. And they're stacked to open through the end of the year and the next year.
That's super, super exciting. Yeah, I guess it does help. Are you not typically having to go through permit processes then? You don't have to do MEP work and go back and forth.
Yeah, it's not like food. It's a lot easier than food. So I can only imagine what you go through.
It's a lot. We franchised just over 2 years, 2 years and 2 or 3 months. So it's hard. I love that you are expanding that quickly. And I could tell you that it's hard. At least it's hard for me.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard. And you have small children. I mean, my children are your age. I don't even have littles at home. And, you know, sometimes people think that we have a really glamorous job. And I don't know about you, but I'm in there with my sleeves rolled up, you know, working away. And I have a feeling that you are as well. And the constant travel and the demands, but it's a big honor. It's a lot of responsibility. And it's the most exciting thing I've ever done.
Yeah, it is. And I, again, kind of going back to, it was born out of like a love for doing that. And, and I think that is what makes the job so much more rewarding, especially when shit hits the fan, which is typically every day.
Every day.
So to fall back and be like, well, no, I love doing this.
Yeah.
You know? If we were to fast forward 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, whatever, how would you look back in your life and say, you know, those few years that was successful or was it successful? How do you define success?
I think success is about the joy that you bring to other people. I'm not money driven. I love to take good care of my team, but it's really about what I can do for the franchisees and for the students that come into the stores. We really reinvest everything back into the brand, which I think is pretty standard at this stage. So a year from now, there's a couple things. I think looking back, I will think that maybe I should have been a little prouder of myself for the hard work and where we've gotten. And I'll also think that we made it through some really tough times. You know, there's a lot of weight on your shoulders when you're a franchisor and you have a lot of people that you want to take care of and give attention to. And long-term down the road, I will be amazed that I've reached all the goals, having 350 locations open around the United States. You know, we're just launching our own paint brand, which comes out in about a month, which is very exciting. We have our own resin brand and we are in the process of finishing up our own canvas brand. And so we've made a lot of progress and I can't wait to see where we are a year from now, 3 years from now, or 5 years from now.
Awesome. I like what you said about, you know, I should be more proud of myself. And I think that's something that we all struggle with. Because if you rewind maybe 2 years ago, did you think you would already have 30 stores open?
Well, yes, but I'm a big believer in goal setting and doing what you say and say what you do. And I have said from the first day that I decided to franchise, which wasn't even my idea, it was somebody else's idea. And I'll tell you about that in a moment. I came home and I wrote down a list and these were my goals. I wanted 100 locations open within 3 years. I wanted my own paint brand. I wanted a flagship store in Las Vegas on the Strip. And I wanted to have an incredible team of leadership and amazing franchisees. We have a flagship store on the Strip in Vegas. We have our own paint brand. We'll have 100 locations open by the end of this year. And so I believe in writing it down, repeating it every day, and always looking to the future. I'm not one that dwells on the past. It's like, where are we going? What are we doing? But also enjoying the moment now. And so it's interesting to balance between the now and the future.
What advice would you give to someone who's not enjoying the now? You know, even if we're hitting the goals, but just like you said, it is very hard to go, I'm like, man, I have 30 units open. I should go celebrate rather than I have 30 units. Let me put my head down and open up the next 30. And then you open up the next 30 and then you kind of keep doing that. How do you break that cycle to enjoy the process a little bit?
Well, I personally enjoy my franchisees very much. And so I text message them. They send me pictures of their cats or their studios or the beautiful piece of art they made. I have an 8-year-old grandson who I love to spend time with on Sundays. I have an incredible leadership team that I'm just so proud of. And I think that weighing and balancing every day and seeing all the blessings and joy that you have in your life really helps balance out the stresses of being a franchisor and the daily needs and the 20-hour days, because there are 20-hour days. I know that you know this, and there's always fires to put out and new ideas to come up with and implement. And it's so important to just take a little bit of time and stand in the sun for 5 minutes and just appreciate everything that there is in your life currently. Because, you know, in reality, we could have a crappy J-O-B someplace and be really miserable.
Yeah, I often think about that. I'm like, I couldn't hold any job because I need to be doing something different every day. And I want to work on different problems and be able to have that freedom. But with that freedom, it definitely is a lot more weight on your shoulders when you have X amount of employees that you have to make sure that payroll goes out and everything is coordinated. So this next question, you can answer it from business or personal or both, but what are the things that bring you most joy and fulfillment to your life?
Well, personally, it is my relationships. For instance, my director of franchise expansion is she's like a sister to me, and I get to spend most of my day with her every day. And that is a blessing. My husband, who's supportive and amazing, and my 8-year-old grandson, who brings joy to me every single time he's around me. So that's on a personal level. On a business level and I'll get a little emotional, I'm sorry, but seeing my franchisees happy and enjoying what they're doing and not tied to something that they really disliked doing for years. You know, a lot of people want to get into franchising because they don't want to be in a J-O-B anymore. I don't even say that word. It's called a J-O-B. And helping them get to a place that they're comfortable and they're thriving and they love what they do every day brings me a lot of joy and a lot of satisfaction. And so, and you know, achieving goals, I'm pretty driven. So that also brings me joy.
That's one of the beauties of franchising. Somebody has a job a J-O-B, and it's a big leap to start your own business. So franchising is kind of that middle ground. Like, I'm going to start a business, but I'm going to follow a proven model with a brand and a team. And it empowers them. That's part early on the Dirty Dough, before we franchised, I kind of sat down and did my mission statement. And part of that was about empowering entrepreneurs, which is, anyway, that just really relate to you on that. Was that, I guess, when did that kind of thought process come up? Was it after you franchised and you started seeing it and you're like, I love this? Or was that before you franchised, like, this is the purpose. I know this is what I like. This is going to bring me joy and fulfillment to help others.
So when I was, when I owned a consulting company, lived on the islands, I was helping people every day with simple problems to major problems and seeing the relief when I would walk in and just put out a fire. You know, I can't solve drama, but I'm good at solving problems. And so that's where I really realized that I was a fixer. I was somebody who enjoyed taking a problem and smoothing it out, building an SOP, a bridge over a pothole, and just really seeing the progression and the excitement in people moving forward. And I knew nothing about franchising before I was a franchisor. I did some research, but the way that it came about for me to franchise was that I do mobile parties. We do mobile parties where we take the party to you. And we were at a well-known resort on the islands, and this group of people, very well-known actors and actresses who had been taking my classes for months, came up to me and said, Maya, we need to talk to you. And I said, okay. And they said, we have traveled the world and we have never done or seen anything like what you do. And we think everybody deserves to experience Hawaii Fluid Art, and we think you should franchise. And I went home that night and started researching, and I was up at 3 a.m. and I was like, a light bulb went off. And I was like, if I can bring this much joy to people on a little island in the middle of the Pacific, imagine what we could do if we had 350 of these around the United States. And that was it. I was on a mission.
I love that. super, super rewarding to see other people, you know, have a positive change. Like, hey, I had a little hand in that. Mm-hmm. Earlier, you mentioned that you're not motivated by money.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a time early in your career that you were, and then what was the change to make you not so motivated by just pure dollars?
I used to be motivated by money. I've always been fairly generous, but I worked my tail off as a real estate broker many, many years ago when I was young. And I went out of the country for a vacation. And when I came back, I had found out that the manager of my business who had left in charge had taken all of the money out of the trust accounts, out of all the bank accounts and everything. And I went from being very comfortable financially to having $6,000 left to my name because I paid it all back. I made sure that everybody was taken care of. I put the money back in the accounts, etc. And I realized that I was just as happy being broke as I was having money. The difference was is that I couldn't take care of other people as much as I liked to or wanted to. And so I'm not driven to succeed for me to have money. I'm driven to succeed for the people in my life to receive the blessings that money can provide. And I think it's a very different, because people assume that we have money, like we have lots of money because we're a franchisor. And in reality, we're reinvesting every single penny into making the brand better. And thank goodness I'm not money driven because I haven't had a paycheck in 2.5 years. And I think that's okay. You know, I work for free, and I wouldn't change that for anything right now.
I was going to ask, because you opened up so many and you spoke about your team, your support staff, and having that all set in place. How did you fund it all?
Huh. Sold my house, cleaned out my 401k, sold my car. Basically, every single thing in my life that used to be important to me, I don't want to use the word sacrificed, but I let go of in order to follow this dream, all the way to the point that every credit card that I had, or that I have some months, is at its limit, because you have to take care of the franchisees, and that's not inexpensive. You know, my payroll is heavy, but I do it and I have faith, and every month it works out. And it's a lot, but it's a lot of fun.
Burning the boats, right? Definitely going all in. So you guys didn't ever raise any outside capital?
Mm-mm. Awesome. I have bootstrapped the entire thing.
Well, congratulations on that success. That's super, super cool. That's the American dream, like putting all the chips in and then watching it work out. Like you said, like, it's so scary though. Anybody who hasn't done the entrepreneurship journey and you have a six-figure payroll or whatever the number is, and you're just like, how am I going to make this work in 2 weeks or
in six
months? But it always just, it just does. It you just keep pushing, and it seems like it always falls into place. So going into kind of the mental health side, if you're comfortable sharing a hard time in your life, whether it's with mental health or just stress or XYZ, what was that? And then also speak to any actionable items or things that you did to kind of get out of that funk.
Well, actually, I have a very specific time. About 7 years ago, I was just kind of down in the dumps. I couldn't figure out why. I've always been a really positive person, living on the islands, away from family. And I decided that I was going to post something every day. I was going to create this page called Be Happy on Facebook. And every day I was just going to post something like a journal, just something happy, something uplifting, something motivating. And I started doing that every day, and it started to change my outlook. I had gotten just kind of negative, just a little, you know, not my normal self. And so over the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, I started feeling better. But what was crazy is that these people started following this Facebook page. And within a year, there was 200,000. And within 2 years, there was 1 million.
Wow.
And within 3 years, there's 1.5 million people just in the United States following this page called Be Happy, just to be happy, to have a little bit of light in their day. And I receive, and I don't have time for it now. I still post on occasion, But I would receive hundreds of messages a day telling me, you know, my husband passed away and your page gives me hope. It was incredible. And so it wasn't only my mental health that I was impacting and changing, but literally hundreds of thousands of other people's mental health. And that page is still there and it's just called Be Happy. And I believe that we don't have a cord from the wall plugged into our brain telling us what to think. We have the power to adjust our thinking. And it takes some effort. But if you do it every day and remind yourself every day, then you really can get ahead a lot quicker.
Yeah, I'm sure pretty much everybody's had the experience of, usually the example is a new car. You know, you get a new car and then you start seeing that car everywhere because mm-hmm. you're training your brain to focus on that. I mean, the amount of information our brain takes in on a daily basis, we don't even remember probably 1% of it. Like mm-hmm. we probably see a few hundred cars a day, but we can't tell you a single license plate number because we weren't paying attention. So mm-hmm. If I'm hearing you correctly, it's really training your brain to pay attention to the positive. There's positive and there's negative mm-hmm. in every moment and every day. It's just,
yes.
What are you paying attention to?
Absolutely. 100%. If it's sunny outside and then all of a sudden it starts raining, I don't think, oh man, it's raining. I think the flowers are being watered. Now that might just be a little botch, but that's just how I train myself. And most days I accomplish always looking to the positive and seeing the world through probably some sunny glasses. And I'm okay with that.
I mean, it's hard to argue that that's not the better life to live mm-hmm. from a happiness standpoint or fulfillment standpoint, because everything does come down to perspective.
Yep.
You know, it's just, what do I think that this means for me? So anyways, I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm also going to go follow that Facebook page. I love that it's something that I'm going to do for me. And then not only did you do it to get yourself out of that funk, but you helped other people. And while helping other people, you enhance yourself again, because obviously you get more joy and fulfillment seeing the impact is, you know, so it's that upward spiral. So anyways, that's super cool. Going back then, and I'm sure I already know the answer to this question. Would you have traded that moment? Like if you could rewind and say, I wasn't going to go into that funk, I would have never felt those, you know, negative emotions or whatever. If you could have changed it, would you have? Why and why not?
I wouldn't change anything in my life because it's gotten me where I am now. It has helped me have the relationships that I have now, the maturity level that I have now, the wisdom that I have now. You know, everything from losing all my money years and years ago to being a single parent with teenage boys that wasn't easy to the franchisees now that are demanding. I wouldn't change any of it because it has helped create the person that I am today and the way that I lead and just everything about who I am. And so, no, I wouldn't change anything in my past.
Yeah, and I think that's the right answer, if there is a right answer, because you can't, right? you can't change it, but again, it's perspective. Mm-hmm. It's just your perspective is that had to happen. And that's my perspective on life as well. Again, you can't change the past. Everything happened because it happened. Yeah. So there's just perspective. May as well learn from those mistakes. So now that you're not, you know, posting as regularly to the Be Happy page, are there other activities that you are doing or habits that you do on a regular basis in order to stay proactive with, you know, a positive mindset and mental health?
Well, yeah, I try and motivate my team, my leadership team and my franchisees. And now I post uplifting fun things on our private group page. I spend time with my husband, who I adore. And the thing that brings me the most joy is absolutely my 8-year-old grandson, who is autistic, and everything to him is joy. Everything is amazing. Everything is beautiful. I'm the best grandma in the whole world. And he really uplifts me, motivates me, and just makes me want to be a better version of myself. And so I think that you can find something to motivate you and uplift you with everybody that you meet. It doesn't matter how small the interaction or how big the interaction, everybody, we can learn from every person that we come into contact with.
Perspective. Absolutely love it. If you, if we fast forward, you've already hit your goal. You're at 350. Mm-hmm. You have all the money in the world. How would your life be different?
I just start another franchise. I think once you're looped in and you have a team and you have this incredible journey that you've done and you've seen the difference that you've made in people's lives, can we ever get out of what we do now?
No, I'm with you on that. Yeah. Rephrasing the question just a little bit. What about the day to day? Would your day to day change, or it would be doing the same, just a different brand?
I would be doing the same thing. This brand, maybe another brand. I think the only thing that would be different is that I would take a break and get a massage more often. But other than that, I like the life I have, and I think I want to do it.
Paycheck, right? You'd receive one of those.
Oh yeah, by then I hope to be paying myself. Yes.
Well, I love that, and I like the question because a lot of times, you know, I would be skiing more, and the response is a lot of times is like, well, you can do it. You know, you can. You can probably get more massages if you want.
I will.
You know, I like that the life that you're living right now is the same life that almost identical to, you know, if you had all the money in the world. And that is definitely, I think, the goal. How do I formulate today's life to be, you know, the heaven or the exit or whatever goal I'm setting on? How do I bring those emotions to the present day and start feeling them now? So
absolutely.
My last question for you is, what is the legacy that you want to leave behind?
Well, what I would like to be able to do is have educational programs for people with autism. So I personally have Asperger's, and it was very hard for me in school to be in a classroom with noises and sounds and clicks and beeps. And I would like there to be an education program that really helps people with the same superpower that I have, autism, be able to function through the education system a little easier. And whether that be finding programs or educators or leaders that could help the school districts, etc., that is something that I would really like to be able to do. I don't know if that's a legacy, but to me, it's something that's important that when I do have that that freedom, that I would like to be able to focus on a little bit more.
Awesome. Well, Maya, I really appreciate you coming on the show. You're so passionate and you love what you do, and I love that for you because you're like, I'm freaking doing what I want to do. And I love that the passion in the business, like I came into Dirty Dough because I was an investor and then I bought it. But there wasn't and then I had to integrate mission statement and purpose and how we're doing all of that. And the next time around, I'm going to do it a little bit different, more your path. Yeah. And like one of the regrets that I have right now is I'm pretty big into physical health as well. You know, my stats and so on. And then I'm like, but I freaking sell in cookies. You know, I do want to sell a healthier product. So the next time around, I think cookies are great. And, you know, obviously you don't eat them every day, but I love that you found the passion and then made the business out of that. So that's amazing. How can listeners connect with you and learn more about, you know, you obviously have to be happy, but yeah, you personally and also the business.
I'm on LinkedIn. Anybody can also email me at info@hawaiifluidart.com. And I love to talk to other people and brands and give ideas and help support. So I'm usually available quite often. And I would just say to reach out via email and I'll get back with you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're welcome.